Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson, and
this is David North.
And hi, this is Andy Atwell.
We'd like to welcome you to come and reason together with us through the Bible. So get your Bible. You do need your Bible. And of course, you need a cup of coffee, I think.
Or if you like tea, we don't want to exclude any tea drinkers.
No, tea is very good. We want to reason together through the Bible. So we've gone through trying to determine God's heart and mind because Father always knows best. We don't know that much. Well, actually, we know very little. And the Father knows all things. And so we want to determine God's heart and mind. Not, I don't want to know what David thinks or what Andy thinks, and they certainly don't want to know what I think. We want to know what God thinks and what he says. We're getting into God's heart and mind. There's actually one place in Ephesians that says, or maybe it's Corinthians, it says, you have the mind of Christ.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
We want to have the mind of Christ. And so we do that by reading the Bible, of course, and is one. We'll just stick with that for right now. Anyway, we were talking about not only to read one verse, but read it in the light of the full context. You know, you walk through and you hear just part of a subject and you don't hear the whole thought that the person is conveying. So that is a context, it's a full thought. And then we look at mate scriptures. Maybe there's several conversations that you have with a person and they're able to bring out all their thoughts on a matter, like going to class, you know, you learn a little bit about math there. So you keep going to math class and you'll finally figure out about addition. Then you learn about subtraction, but you're adding all those days that you sat and did math, you're adding them together. And the same way with God's word. And then we also found out about Aquila and Priscilla. They met a man named Apollos, and he only knew part of the picture, and they expounded to him the word of God more accurately, and the word accurately means akrobos, which means they took it from beginning to end, so they knew the full of the subject matter. So we are in Gilbert and Friends. If you just turned onto this radio station or you've gotten in the middle of the picture, we are at gilbertandfriends.com. We're suggesting to folks to go make a picture of these teachings. They're a series of about 18 or 19. It's on the bottom left-hand corner in the list of teachings on the website. It's at Gilbert and Friends. Come, let us reason together. We're on the top of the Google list. Go there, make these, make them for your friends, sit down at a coffee shop, have a cup of coffee, and go over these scriptures. And if you have a picture and you see these pictures, it's like you've joined us in my living room, how we teach, and we draw pictures on the board, and we discuss the scriptures, and we draw these pictures. I won't call them neat little pictures because sometimes we get a little scribbly or whatever, but they're not complicated. Anyway, go there and meet us. And we're looking at adding all the chain of evidence together to determine God's heart and mind. And we started with Matthew 3:8. Do you remember that one, Andy, what it says?
John the Baptist told the Pharisees and the Sadducees to do works, meet repentance. In other words, show what they did in their life. To do works, meet repentance, and to bear fruit.
To bear fruit worthy of repentance. And so we decided to look at all the places, what this fruit is, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. And so we decided to look at all the different places that it talked about fruit. And one was, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. And then another place, it tells the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That was in Galatians. And then there was another one that talking about if we are in the light and the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so we were combining those together, but we wanted to keep following this trail of evidence, like you're doing a property search. If you're a titleman and you buy a piece of property, they look and make sure that everything is clear on your title, or you know what is there on your title when you buy your house. Make sure that, oh, by the way, this house has a lease on it. You'll buy the property, but you won't be able to live in the house for 10 years. Now, what would you think about that one?
I wouldn't buy the property.
I think that's a good idea, Andy. And by the way, you don't even get money from the rental. So you certainly want to know the trail of evidence that leads to you buying a house. And so when you read the Bible, you want to follow the trail of evidence that leads to your eternal life.
Read the fine print, so to speak.
Yeah.
Or if get a bigger print Bible, large print.
I think it's a plot to produce these Bibles with teeny tiny print because it wears your eyes out. I'm going to suggest everybody get a giant print or a large print Bible so you can sit down and comfortably read it and you won't pass out. You won't go to sleep because your eyes are so tired. And so you can enjoy reading the Bible. This is one of the first things that somebody told us, get a large print Bible. So now we're in our late 50s and early 60s, and we like our large print Bibles.
We like them even more than we did before.
I'm almost to the point of just having one word on each page. Anyway, Matthew 7:20 verses 15 to 23. Who wants to read that?
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we're talking about the fruit here. And Jesus starts out by saying, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And then he says, now look, you'll know them by their fruits. Remember, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You'll know them by their fruits, if they're true or not, because they'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those nine things in Galatians, they'll have those. And if you don't see those, then they're not bearing the right fruit. And Jesus says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, this is something to watch for. A bad tree is going to bear fruit too, but it's going to be bad fruit. So when you look for fruit, you have to look for the good and look for the bad.
Well, you go to the grocery store and that piece of fruit looks really good, so you buy it.
Well, it's a little bit further than skin deep, isn't it? It may look well on the outside, but what if the center of that apple is rotten? You don't know. So it looks like some inspection is a little bit more than just looking at what maybe someone would have on or looking at one thing they say. You have to look at a lot of things they say and measure what a person says, let's say against the Bible. Do they actually say what the Bible says, or do they just say, I think, a whole lot of times? You have to actually do that to get at measuring this fruit.
Or maybe they say things correctly, but then you look at their life behind the scenes, they don't live their life according to the things that they talk about from the Bible.
I see what you mean, like how they treat their wife, or how they treat their children,
or
how they
friends.
Treat their friends or coworkers, this kind of thing. Sure.
But yet in a meeting, perhaps they might
look good.
Look good.
So a person's life is to be measured more than just at church, is what we're saying.
Sure.
Or they meet at a coffee shop and they know the scriptures, and at night they put on a handkerchief and go rob a bank. That's rather extreme, but
Now, I noticed in the first part of verse 15, it says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." In today's day and age, not everyone looks or knows what a false prophet might be. But in the book of Revelation, it says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus." So when someone is speaking about Jesus, in a sense, they are giving forth a prophecy. They're speaking forth on God's behalf. So just in that very simple understanding, anyone who is speaking forth the things about Jesus Christ could be a false prophet if they are speaking incorrectly or if they are acting incorrectly.
Can I take it another vein here? If you buy a piece of fruit and you bite and you hold it up, here's a good tip on buying an orange. Make sure it's firm. Make sure the skin is not too dimply. The smoother, the better. And make sure that that bad boy is heavy. If it's heavy, firm. But if it's green, it'll be sour. It's got to have a nice color, but some of them, they die. They add to the color in the market. To know the fruit, what really is the final thing you do?
The proof's in the tasting.
You got to eat it.
Do we have to taste anything regarding God?
It says in the Bible, taste and see that the Lord is good. Spiritually, we have to have senses with the Bible.
So it's not just in church for that 1 hour. You really need to know one another to see if there's fruit. Especially if he's a prophet and a teacher, I'd sure like to know. I'd like to be invited to his house and get to know the man.
And you know, what this says here right down in verse 19 is what it said back there in Matthew 3 when we started this about fruit. It says, if a tree doesn't bear good fruit, it's cut down and thrown in the fire. That's the third time we've heard about this. Matthew 3 said it, John 15 said it, and now Matthew 7 is saying, if a tree doesn't bear good fruit, and John 15 says, basically, God's going to cut that tree down and put it in the fire.
Oh, now we got three double mates.
Three double mates.
Now, I like that double mate thing. It's a mate mate.
It is.
It is. And so, taste and see that the Lord is good. First thing I do is look in the supermarket and I look for those qualities. And they say even if you're doing a navel orange, don't get one with a big navel. Get one with a smaller, tight navel. They're generally better. So my family used to be farmers and so on. So I picked up these little tips from them and they're generally right. So first thing is you look at it. Then you pick it up and handle it. And then the final judgment is you taste it, isn't it? So here are false prophets. It says, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. So they got a nice covering on the outside. They might even feel good, you know, the right weight and so on when you pick up that orange, that fruit. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves and you won't know until you taste it. Now, I'm going to go another vein here. So how many of you have heard in Ephesians chapter 5, it likens the body of Christ to a marriage, where Christ is the head of the church so on.
Yeah.
So husbands, as Jesus died for the church, the people in it, a man should die. He should give up his life for his wife. Women will like that part. And God means it. He's not speaking maybe.
Well, you're not talking about he should go and jump off a cliff. Or are you really
unless he's really bad? No, yeah. I'm just.
but rather,
I'm not saying that.
Give up what he wants to do with his time and his resources.
Instead of maybe going to a football game, go shopping with his wife, spend time with her, take her to coffee.
Right, to live his life in a manner that he's going to take care of his wife.
Instead of having as many toys as possible for a grown man, perhaps have your wife dress nicely.
I knew an insurance salesman who used to look at the fruit of a man. He would walk into that house and he would set up their policy for their insurance. This is years ago in Grants Pass, Oregon. And he would look at how many toys that man had. And that would gauge in his mind what premiums that man would pay.
Interesting.
Seriously. Now, he's an older, he was the World War II generation. This is a man that knew how to sacrifice, and he would look at all the toys that that gentleman had.
He'd just use it as a measurement.
He'd use it as a measurement. A boy. This man is a 30-year-old boy. And he would judge about their age and responsibility level. So back to this thing, I'm going to marriage here in just a little bit. Regard to this, it says, you'll know them by their fruit. How many of you have heard regarding a marriage, one spouse talking about the other? So we won't just pick on men or women here, but one spouse talking about the other, I thought I knew them, then I got married, and they're not the same person. Is that kind of like inspecting fruit?
It's the exact same sure. story.
So they not only get married, they look at each other, they get married, and he touches and handles his wife or vice versa. And I'm not talking necessarily one way or the other, but you know, your wife likes to dress you. I don't know how many of you where your wife buys you clothing. My wife likes to touch me and make sure I put on the right clothing. She wants to touch my life and make sure I don't look like a, did you shave? Did you do all these things? They look you over and they'll say, are you going to wear that as you dress to go out? Now, if the man says that, what kind of reaction is he going to get?
He's in the doghouse.
Yeah. So it doesn't always work the same way both ways. But anyway, so she wants to touch you. She wants to be part of your life and taste. And sometimes they get married and the touching and the tasting is not so good. The man is not the same. He's got some bad habits or...
So maybe he was putting on a show to win her to begin with. And then let his guard down afterwards.
Didn't we all do that? Really, you do. You put on your best behavior.
I don't want to say anything lest I incriminate myself.
but then I'm making these guys really uncomfortable here. but don't we all put on our best behavior, but the real trick is to keep up the good behavior throughout marriage. Well, the Bible will make you actually have a better behavior. But you do try to do well when you're in small groups. You try to do well. Well, I can do well for a half an hour. Man, I got to get out of here. This is getting a little bit hard for me to do. That's why we need fellowship together, because iron sharpens iron and we rub against each other to polish ourselves that we are better behaved. But this thing about bearing fruit, it really becomes obvious to the spouse once we get married. Maybe you can do well for a year, but then after a couple of years, that excitement of marriage wanes, it starts going down, and then the real life shows out, and we have to make some changes. I'm just talking about exposing fruit. It's more than just an outward glance for a half an hour. Our wives know us better than anybody else. Wouldn't you say that?
Oh, absolutely.
So in the same way, a false prophet may be not evident at first. It may take a little while to see it.
You might have to talk to his wife.
You might.
I'm getting myself in trouble here, aren't I? Is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about that? So it's not just the fact of what a man says, it's his fruit. And this man of God we knew years ago, he bore fruit. I think he spoke more loudly with his fruit than his words. His life spoke oodles of good things. And we also know a gentleman that's in his 90s. He was never a good speaker. He never stood up and taught. But he was a gentleman that spoke with his life. His name is Walter. And
he's 95 now.
95. He lives in Vancouver, Washington. And you should see the respect the young people have of this man. He's a man that none of us have ever heard him talk badly about anybody. And that is a rarity. He definitely wouldn't make it on the news.
You never heard an unkind word come out of his mouth.
No, it's fruit of the Spirit. His wife loves him dearly. She'd like to keep him around for another 20 years. She's a bit younger than he is, and she's taken such good care of him because she wants to keep him alive. And I can certainly see why. So we've gotten to this juncture. We're now on number 10, the trail divides. We want to know where man was walking with God and where man fell. Now, how do we tell the difference between this false prophet and a true prophet? So we're going to read Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and see how God divides between a sheep and what is not a sheep. I'm not going to divulge yet what the not sheep is, but we want to read Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Follow this trail of evidence. Remember Acrobos, they got Paulus aside and expounded to him the way of God more accurately. In other words, they looked at the whole story from beginning to end. So now we want to find out how God divides between the sheep and those who are not bearing fruit.
I'll read that. This is Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Now we're going to continue on this the next time, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us at 480-205-3346. That's 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."